Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Good morning. Happy Monday. Milwaukee Brewers looked real bad when they started that series with the Reds. Lost a couple. Bounced back, though, over the weekend. We'll take a look at them going forward as they're still chasing at this point the Cubs. And the winds say that Kawhi Leonard could stay in Toronto. We'll take a look at the NBA landscape. It's Chuck and Winkler on The Fan.
A Radio.com sports station. Two Wisconsin guys talking Wisconsin sports in the morning. Broadcasting live on the Radio.com app. 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. It's time for Chuck and Winkler in the Morning, live from the Bryant and Stratton Bobcat Studios.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath sliding over again today as Chuck, you know, when you get to a guy of Chuck's stature, he was supposed to be back today. Planned on it, but you got an invite to a golf outing, so he will be there. Now, whether the weather will hold up for him, we'll see, but yeah, that's what happens when you're a guy like Freems. I mean, it's hard to go a week in the summer, you know, with a full week, because either you've got some great vacations planned, as most of us do in the summertime,
mm-hmm.
or your celebrity stature just can't keep you off the links. So hope he has a good time today.
Now, I'm a pretty organized guy. I like to know what's going on with our show. So as the producer, was Chuck supposed to be here today, or was he always supposed to be off? Were you joking with that?
No, he was off like within the last 100 hours.
Okay, because as we were driving in today, I was like, oh, I think Chuck's off today, and I get the co-host, so this works out. I just came in expecting just to produce the show, so here we go.
Oh.
3 days in a row. Loving it.
Okay, well, keep up the good work. Ryan Horvath again, sliding over for Frames. He'll be back tomorrow, when we will take a look at, hopefully, for my sake, if Giannis wins the MVP bet or not, with the $500 bet we have on that. So I'm going to be very attentive towards that tonight, and we'll take a look at that tomorrow. Over the weekend, the Brewers dominating the, I think, collective thoughts of all of us, as it was a bad stretch for them. They had lost five in a row, losing Thursday, then and Friday to the Reds, picking up a win on Saturday, and then getting right back out there and picking up a win on Sunday. And it's been a frustrating time for Brewers fans. I know it was just a five-game losing streak, but it seemed like it was one of those that were longer. And the problem with some of these losing streaks, and while in baseball there's going to be winning streaks and there's going to be losing streaks, we talked about that, we will continue to talk about that, the way that they were playing didn't give you a lot of signs, or, you know, there was nothing to it that you thought they're going to come out there and turn this around, because I can tell that guy's hitting it hard. It's just going to the wrong spots, or these guys are throwing good pitches. It was just, there was nothing that sort of worked out. And the only way that they were going to turn it around as a fan would be, well, I just believe they will, because I hope so. And I always fight with that crowd, and that crowd, at least for the last two games, Horvath was right, because the Brewers do kind of salvage themselves and now have an off day before the Mariners, but get back on track a little bit after what seemed to be a really long five-game losing streak.
It was a long five-game losing streak. It was also a long 10 games. I mean, they were 3-7 in their last 10, but what we weren't paying attention to, as we were all kind of freaking out here in Milwaukee, is the Cubs were just as bad. I mean, they were 4-6 in their last 10. They got smoked by the Mets the other day. I turned on the game and it was like 8-0. You know, to look at the final, it was like 11-2 or something like that. So they were having their own struggles, and they were at home against a bad Mets team. So, like I said, everybody's going to go through these winning streaks and losing streaks. A lot of parity in the National League. It's crazy because the Cubs are 4-6 in their last 10. The Brewers were awful, 3-7 in their last 10, but yet still just a half game back behind Chicago. Meanwhile, the Cardinals, Reds, and Pirates, 6-4 in their last 10, which I told you, it's just like the NL Central is packed. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Reds honestly made a run at the division because everybody in this division is so streaky. You know, watching the Cubs over the weekend, they're not a perfect baseball team. Their bullpen is still awful. Jose Quintana, terrible. He got rocked once again. That trade looks worse and worse every day. So I think the Brewers are still in good position, especially. But the problem is you're relying on the same, you know, one or two guys to go out there and give you a good start. Like, Woodruff was great yesterday. But Jimmy Nelson moved to the bullpen, which, good call, by the way. I didn't think we were ever going to see that. You called that on Friday, I believe, didn't you?
I called that he'd never be back to begin with. So I don't know where my predictions are with Jimmy Nelson.
Yeah, so it looks like he's going to move to the bullpen. And that's the only thing, though, is we're still relying on, you know, Davies has to go out there, have a good start. You need a good start from Woodruff or else you're in big trouble. I still don't trust this team playing from behind. You know, and I know that they did it the other day, but when you give up a 3-4 run lead in the first two innings, I just don't feel as confident as I did last year. And it's probably just because guys aren't getting on base. Like, Lorenzo Cain isn't getting on base. But maybe things will turn around here. Travis Shaw homered yesterday. So let's just look at things with maybe a positive outlook.
Well, the Travis Shaw home run was big. It was kind of a moment, I think, that it just felt cathartic for the entire team.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that because Travis Shaw hit a home run, everybody else realized that they would be good offensively as well. But there did seem to be, for this time of the year, for somebody to hit a home run and it to be that meaningful, it did feel a little more meaningful than a normal June home run did. And I think for Travis Shaw, but also for the teams and also for the 40,000 that were there yesterday. So that helped them get back on track yesterday. Bullpen a little shaky, but the Brewers do get the win. So over the weekend, they dropped Thursday and Friday, as you know. 6-5 win on Saturday, 7-5 win yesterday. Now, I think the biggest takeaway for me on the weekend still remains the pitching, as you did not have anyone get through six innings except, again, Brandon Woodruff. Chacin couldn't go the distance the other night. I think Chase Anderson got into some trouble. They go five innings, Jimmy Nelson getting the five innings, but then Woodruff goes out there yesterday and has a tremendous day. And that, imagine if you've got one Brandon Woodruff, and Travis Shaw talked about this after the game, that he's our guy. We know every, you know, fifth day he's going to be out there. Seven innings, three earned, 12 Ks yesterday, 103 pitches. Imagine just having another one. Imagine having two guys that you can depend on, not even to go seven innings and strike out 12, but just to go six innings. I mean, the Brewers have been patching things together. I don't know how long that's sustainable, although here they are. I've been saying, how long is this sustainable? How long can they do this? And since I've said that, I don't think they've lost a game in the standings because, as you mentioned, Horvat, everybody else in the Central, I mean, nobody is separating themselves in this division.
Yeah, it's not even just the Central. I'm looking over at the American League, and the Astros had lost seven in a row. They finally get a win yesterday, you know, against the Yankees. But it's about to get interesting because you got Adrian Hauser making the start on Wednesday already as Jimmy Nelson gets moved to the bullpen. So now you're going to look to buy innings by going with the, you know, the bullpen days once again. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But, yeah, if you just had one, two more guys that could just eat up some innings. Because that's the thing.
If you had three or four more guys.
Well, that'd be really great. And then you're setting yourself up for a run to the pennant. But the problem is that, I mean, and that's the thing. You set yourself up perfectly because then you could use Jeffers. You could use Hader the way that the council wants to use him. He's had to use the bullpen. I mean, he's pretty much picking and choosing his spots. But, yeah, you just need another guy. You don't even need a Cy Young winner. You just need somebody to eat up five or six innings. It's crazy that that's what we're asking.
Well, and then, like with Hauser, if you had guys consistently that could eat up innings, Hauser was developing himself into maybe even almost above Jeremy Jeffress in the bullpen pecking order, where he's the guy that comes in the seventh or eighth, and then Hader can finish it out. But the reward for being that good is we're not going to cement you there and use you in those high-pressure innings a couple days a week. We need to move you now and start. So this is why they've never done it with Josh Hader, because Josh Hader is more effective in as many games as possible, not one every 5 days. But because they're so desperate, they're taking one of those guys that is effective in that role, and now they have to have him start on Wednesday against the Mariners. That series will start tomorrow after an off day today. 414-799-1250. You can chime in throughout the show. Tweet us at 105.7FM, the Fan Facebook as well. Let's start with Tim in Fredonia. What's up, Tim?
Evan, you got a new boy. Everybody's just sliding around seats today. Co-pilots, pilots. I mean, just crazy.
Heffel Finger, yeah, he's running the updates today and putting up the podcast. You know, he's a grown man now, Tim.
I gave him my usual jargon that I give to Horvath when he answers the phone. I think Evan was stunned, Ryan. It was like, who the hell is this guy?
Yeah, Tim greets me with the same greeting every morning. We're not going to say it on the air, but the first time that he said it, I was like, this guy, man, it's Monday morning. I am not in the mood for this, Timmy.
Exactly. Evan, I think Evan was shell-shocked. I think he wanted to go back to UWM. He was freaking out. I'm like, dude, it's okay. Okay, dude, we'll get it. Hey, where's Freem's golfing today? Because I got an outing today at the Bog. Where's he at? Where's Freem's going?
Is Newsman on the case?
I don't know. It might be the Bog.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it's for the White Family YMCA in Northern Ozaukee. So, yeah,
no, it's not. Definitely not that one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's too pure for Chuck. You don't want to do a YMCA outing. He's got to do it for, like, Ray and Dots or whatever that's called.
Him, I think him and Big Unit are in the same one.
Oh, that's not the one. Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. You know, I was at the game yesterday in Woodruff. I'm telling you, if he gets just a little bit more consistent, I know he had 12 Ks yesterday, but he had the one bad inning. If he couldn't avoid that and just throw darts like he was yesterday, he's crazy good because I was watching the gun. He was at 97 on the black on a lot of those kind of looking strikeouts. So, I mean, it was just crazy how good he was in the first four innings yesterday. I think through the first four innings, he threw like 49 pitches. It was crazy good. But then he ran into a little bit of trouble. But you're right. If they get one more guy like him who can throw darts and just, you know, go at it and be efficient and stretch and get some innings, I think they got a shot at it. Now they got to start hitting the ball consistently. I know yesterday they did. Every ball that was hit hard. I mean, smoked. I mean, that double that Moustakas hit off the right field wall, I think it took about 2.5 seconds to get there. It was crazy. But if they get one more guy, I'm going to start paying attention in August when things get really tight. But hey, Harvey, tell Evan not to freak out. It's only me. So if he's ever in the co-pilot seat again, it's okay. Just tell him you don't need to, tell him that things will be okay.
Yeah, so, I think it was just the initial shock.
See you, Timmy. Be nice to our little guys over here. Evan's a grown man. He can handle himself. So whatever Tim says must be really bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I could get in a lot of trouble.
Like, if we said it now, would we be able to come back for the next segment? No, Evan says no.
No, I think we would all go to jail.
Oh, Tim! Come on, buddy.
Yeah, it was the initial shock. I pick up the phone. I'm like, Chuck and Winkler, what's your first name? And he's like, hey, Horvey, what's up? And he calls you a word, and you're like, whoa! Not a whole lot, Tim. What's up with you, man? You know?
Interesting.
Yeah,
all right, well,
takes you aback.
As long as he keeps it clean on the air and his phone service is good, we'll continue chatting with him and all you guys. 414-799-1250. Brewers win 7-5 yesterday. They split the series with the Reds. We'll take more of a look at that NL Central. And the Cubs beat the Mets so bad that the Mets locker room imploded yesterday. We'll talk about that and get an update on the standings. Ryan Horvath over for Chuck. I'm Bart here on The Fan.
Now, it's Chuck and Winkler's Brew Crew Review, brought to you by Bofording Beer. Bofording is Milwaukee's smooth drinking import. Try it at your nearest Total Wine location. This is the only station Brewers fans need. Sports Radio, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. I'm Bart Winkler. Ryan Horvath sliding over. Chuck back tomorrow. We will talk to Adam McKelvey, our Milwaukee baseball insider. He'll join us at 8 o'clock as the Brewers drop a couple to the Reds and then take Saturday and Sunday. The feeling that I get, just if you paid no attention and didn't look at the standings at any point at all this season, and then today was going to be the first time you looked, today's the first time you're going to hear about the standings. You would have to think that the Brewers were like 6 or 7 games back of the Cubs, right? Based on the conversation, based on the way everybody's feeling, just kind of based on the mood and the way that they've struggled as of late. But no, they are just a half game back of the Chicago Cubs. They split a series with the Mets over the weekend, and the Mets locker room was in disarray after the game. Something happened with one of the reporters from Newsday. He said, see you tomorrow to the manager, and then the manager said, don't be a smartass, and then said more, and then there was a stare down, and then Jason Vargas was like held back by Carlos Gomez and Noah Syndergaard. He's gonna fight the reporter. details still a little murky on this one. I don't really know what happened, but man, every team seems to be some sort of mess. I did see one Cubs fan on Twitter say, that's what Javi will do to you. And I wanted to kill him.
Yeah. Yeah, Javi will strike out 15
times. With my
times.
Kindness, I should say. With my kindness. I don't advocate killing or violence, but I want to kill him with my kindness.
You have to be careful if you're a reporter in these Major League Baseball clubhouses after a loss, though. We sent somebody in last season who asked the wrong question to the wrong relief pitcher. I mean, these are guys that they're going out there, and if they fail, I mean, they're doing their job. And if they serve one up, a meatball, to lose the game, and they're worried about getting back to work on Monday. Because that's the thing. Like, a lot of these guys, especially in the position of the Mets, like, they're most likely going to be sellers at the deadline. A lot of guys might get shipped off to AAA or AA because they're not performing. So you got to be careful when you ask a question because you never know what's going to happen. And that's a great example is the clubhouse just falling apart already, and it's only June.
It's always such a weird thing, too, that I think we take for granted or we don't look at with the right focus. You have these guys that are athletes in any sport.
Yeah.
Baseball, football, you know what the sports are. So they get all charged up, and the adrenaline, the emotion, this is something they've put their whole life into, and they're, you know, you've got to get to a certain spot mentally to compete at such a high level, and then moments after you lose a game, you've got these dorky, out of shape, balding guys for the most part, mm-hmm. and then a few beautiful women coming into your area of domain wanting to know your innermost thoughts. And it's like they're super tense, and then the reporters are like just kind of like chill or maybe nervous.
Yeah.
And it's just a weird dynamic. That's why when Cam Newton's upset afterwards or somebody leaves a press conference, I never like am too hard on those people because we don't, unless you're a former athlete, and maybe former athletes that are on the air should do a better job of telling us what that process is like, because it is you're in a high leverage situation and then you've got a microphone in your face and you have to tell the world why you screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
It's just weird and volatile. So it's almost surprising that kind of stuff doesn't happen more.
And I'm like torn on it because I kind of see both ways or both points of view, of a view, because when you're in the media, you want the best quote and you have to ask the question. You can't just throw up softballs or, you can't just say, hey, you guys really tried hard. Like, you have to question a manager or a player and ask them like, hey, what were you thinking on third down when you threw that one away or something? But at the same point, I get where the athlete's coming from because you just lost a tough game. Like, it's your job. I mean, you're obviously highly competitive. You're making a bunch of money, but also, you don't want to lose. Nobody wants to lose. So always after a loss, I like to just be quiet and let the guys that make the big money ask the tough questions, the beat reporters. But I don't envy them because, right, exactly. Like, you see it all the time. Like, oh, you guys aren't hard enough on the Green Bay Packers. And, nobody asks Rodgers the questions I want to hear. But, yeah, if you ask Rodgers the wrong question, you see what that does. And then you're Mike Silver. That's the other thing that I do have an issue with. I feel like some members, especially of the national media, not throwing out any names, but Mike Silver, Aaron Rodgers blows him off one time, or Mike Florio blows him off one time, and then their whole narrative is just to attack the guy, because I feel like it's a personal thing. You know what I'm saying? He blew him off, so now it's Aaron Rodgers already not getting along with Nathaniel Hackett and stuff like that. Just throwing stuff at the wall to see what sticks, because he blew you off. Didn't want to talk about a TMZ article about Olivia Munn or something like that. So that's the only issue that I have. But I see it both ways, man, because it's tough to ask guys questions after they blow one like the Mets did the other day.
Well, and then even when we talk to guys that are struggling, mm-hmm. I talked to Corbin Burns on Friday for the On Deck show, and he was really good. I mean, he was really open. He talked about, the differences that he has and going to the bullpen and where he wants to be and what his goals are. And I thought that it was a really nice conversation. I thought, okay, this is really nice. I'm going to play this back on Monday for the audience. And, if you want it, you can grab it on the podcast, because he's not a Brewer right now. He's
right.
And as soon as I talked to Burnsy, I text you and I said, he's probably going to get sent down this weekend because the interview was so good that I did with him. And it's going to be so, like, we can play it, but it's just going to be a waste. It's just, we're not going to play it for any reason other than to, like, get a coffee for 6 minutes.
So I have a two-part question. One, do you think you interviewing him was the kiss of death? And then two, do you think now when you go into Clubhouse, everybody's going to avoid you? Like, oh, you saw what happened to Corbin when this guy talked to
there
him.
There was a stretch where when I would interview somebody,
yeah,
I would take them in FanDuel that night because they would hit a home run. Or if I talked to a pitcher, like, I would put them in as the – you put in starters, but if I would talk to, like, Jeremy Jeffress, uh-huh, I'd put him in, and then he'd get the save. It was really great. And if I talked to the opposing team one time, I talked to Goldschmidt, and he hit, like, two homers.
Yeah.
I mean, no matter who I talked to, they were doing well. And, yeah, as of late, it's gone the opposite way. So if you're a Brewer and I come in the clubhouse, avoid me.
And that's the other thing. Like, we talk about being in the media and having to talk to a manager or a player after a tough loss, but it's also tough. Like you said, I like Corbin Burns a lot. I think he's a good interview. He seems like just like a really down-to-earth good guy. And so you, like, feel bad for these guys. Even Travis Shaw, you know, when he's slumping like this, and you're like, man, I just want him to break out of this because he's such a good dude. And I don't want to have to ask the tough questions, but they need to be asked. And that's the other thing, is, like, you're really rooting for these guys because you see it. I saw it a couple months back when Chase Anderson had that cut on his finger. Like, guys are almost scared to leave the rotation right now because if you get sent back down, you could be traded. Maybe you never get back into that rotation. Although, at this point, man, anybody could be in that rotation. But that's the other thing, is, like, you realize these are just regular human beings. You root for them, and you kind of feel bad for them when things aren't going their way.
I think John and Franklin could top 80 still with a fastball. Jay, hey, Johnny, what's going on?
Hey, boys. Yeah, you know, let's keep this thing rolling. I mean, this series started off, and of course I go to the worst game of it all, the first one. But they salvaged a split in the series. You can't let the likes of the Reds come in and, you know, do damage on you in a home series, especially coming off the West Coast, being the rough trip that they had. So they righted the ship, and we need to keep pegging some wins here after this day off. But my focus was on David Stearns, because it's time to crap or get off the pot, and it's time to make a decision with Aguilar or Shaw. And I know Shaw's a good guy, and this isn't about good guys. His best case scenario, if he righted himself, and one home run does not do that, is a platoon player that can't play against the biggest threat in the division, because their oriented left-handed pitching will destroy him. So I'm moving towards, let's make a decision with either him or Aguilar. Yeah, it's a tough decision, but that's what you get paid the big bucks for. And maybe you got to do something like you did with Gamble. Maybe you got to find another guy that you think coming into Miller Park can turn it around, a guy that's struggling with another team. Whatever. That's what you need to do. You need to bring in a starting arm, because I'm not hearing this out-getter crap anymore, okay? Because that's bull crap. You need some good starting pitching, and Woodruff showed you what that can do for you if you didn't know already. And then we obviously need, if not a, you know, I don't expect them to bring a top arm, but they need to bring a reliable arm into the bullpen, and that will make great strides. I think we can fix the positions inside the club for now, but we need a arm in the bullpen, and we need a solid starter. And do what you got to do to make that happen if you think you're a contender. And we should not allow the Cubs' poor performance to negate the fact that, you know, we could be doing a lot better too. Those are two separate issues. And we've watched a 7-8 game lead over the Cubs evaporate in a period of 10 days. So there's a lot of work to be done, guys, but let's build off these two wins.
Yeah, John, thanks for the call. That's right. Last year, the Brewers did have a nice little cushion, and then within 10 days, what was it, like five games?
Yeah.
Five and a half that they overtook in like 10 days. It was unbelievable. And that's a good point by John, because they're 42-36, and I think the level of frustration that was boiling up until Friday night, it's decreased a little bit because you did see the Brewers win a couple of games. But if you look at this, they're still a half game behind the Cubs, who are only seven games over. Brewers are six over. This would have been a nice time with the Cubs struggling to build up a little bit of cushion, because I don't know if the Cubs, you know, if they think of it like the same way, like, we've got to build up cushion because we know the Brewers will get hot. I certainly look at the Brewers as a team that has to be there to push the Cubs away because the Cubs are going to get hot. I don't know if the Cubs look at us the same way. Like, oh, we're struggling. We know the Brewers are going to get hot. But I'm certainly looking at it like that on this side of the fence.
I feel like the Cubs, the Cardinals, and the Brewers are all looking at the division the same way, especially the way that the season ended last year. It's like, we know how this, you just got to kind of stay within that 3.5, 4.5 game range, I feel like, until August. Because whoever gets hot in August is going to rattle off like 10, 11 wins, and they're going to end up winning the division. Just like we saw last year. Like, it's going to come down to the final 2 months of the season. So these games all matter. I mean, we're in the thick of things right here. It's not time to say, oh, it's still early in the season. It's definitely not. But when you do go on these streaks and you lose 3 or 4 in a row, I don't think like the world is caving in the clubhouses for any of these three teams, to be quite honest with you. But yeah, it would have been nice to pick up some ground here, but especially when you look at the Cubs' schedule, because they were out in Los Angeles. They're facing Kershaw. You know, they're facing the Dodgers' 3 best pitchers. And then they come home, and you see they're going to face Jake DeGrom. Like, you're kind of scoreboard watching and looking at the schedule. But like I said, we just can't, unfortunately, do that, because then you pencil in these wins against the Reds. Just doesn't work like that. The Reds are a pretty solid baseball team. Like, I keep expecting them just to go away, and then they'll get hot. Then they'll be awful for 2 weeks. And that's just kind of how the NL Central is. Like, the Reds did not this weekend especially look like a 36-40 team. Did they?
No, they look better.
And Sonny Gray looks pretty good.
Look, here's how it shakes out in the Central right now. Cubs are on top. Brewers are half game back. Cardinals 2. And then the Reds and Pirates are 5.5 back of the Cubs. And yeah, we can dismiss the Reds and Pirates, but you know, all say the Reds sweep the series. Well, then suddenly they are in it.
And I felt like they were. I had this feeling that the Brewers were going to drop the first three and then pick up a win yesterday with Woodruff on the mound. I started to get that feeling. And right, that's a terrible feeling, especially when you're looking at the standings. Like, these are wins that we have to have. And like, you look at the standings and you're 42-36 on the season and just a half a game back. And it feels like you said, like, the Brewers are like 6 or 7 games out of first place. And like, you look at what they're doing this season, and Yelich is, he's got an 18-game hitting streak. Moustakas and him have been like the best 1-2 punch in all of baseball. If only Lorenzo Cain could get things kind of heating up and get on base here. Even Arcia came up with a big hit yesterday. So I just feel like there's a lot of good things happening, but because of the starting rotation and because of the bullpen struggles, like, it's just easy to overlook that it's been a pretty solid start to the season. Like, we would have taken this any other year, but the way it ended last year, a game away from the World Series, I just feel like the expectations are so much higher.
But you're a half game out of the division because the other teams are struggling, not because you're playing a specific way.
True.
So I think if either one of those teams, and you can look at the three of them, Cubs, Brewers, and Cardinals, they're all underperforming. One of those teams right now should be 10, 11 games over 500, and neither of them are, so they're all still in it. I mean, the Cardinals are 2 back, but they're only 3 games over 500. They can't be feeling, you know, tremendous about themselves, but they're still in it because everybody's in it. You look out west, the Dodgers have 54 wins. The Brewers would be 12 games back if the Cubs had that kind of record, and it would be panic and wild card time. But because the Cubs are struggling and because St. Louis is struggling, you know, maybe the pressure isn't being felt as much as it should be for a team that the Brewers are underperforming, I would say, at this point. We'll get more into that and how they can turn things around for the long haul after 7 o'clock here. We've got some Perkins at Summerfest to give away. We've got some NBA to talk about as the Kawhi Leonard situation is getting a little more clear, and it may get clear in a bad way for us Bucks fans. It's Chuck and Winkler. Ryan Horvath in for Frames. Evan on the updates. It's Chuck and Winkler on the Fan. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. Ryan Horvath, Evan Heffelfinger. Chuck will be back tomorrow. I thought Chuck was back today, you might say. Oh, no. Chuck Freeman. If you're friends with this man on Facebook, every picture is either him scaring himself on his own selfie at a ball game or him on the golf course. And that's where he'll be today, weather permitting. It's supposed to rain a bunch today. I have plans to make it to the Milwaukee Milkmen game tonight.
Ooh.
So if anybody's going out there in Franklin, the Independent Baseball League, the Milwaukee Milkmen have their home opener. They've been on the road for like 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and today's going to be their home opener because the stadium, the finishing touches. So they'll have a bunch of home games this summer. So if you're looking for some baseball that's not going to make you tear your brains out like the Brewers have, the milkman may be that option, and we'll see if that game does get in. It should. I think the rain should taper off by then, but rain expected in the forecast today. That's your weather report. That's why you come here on the Sports Talk Radio show. The NBA, we're kind of in a dull period.
Yeah.
It's like ramped up, finals, trades, signings, draft, unofficial. And now there's like a two-week period before everything can be official. There is an event tonight, the NBA Awards show. So we're going to finally find out if Coach Bud is Coach of the Year, if Giannis is the MVP. We're going to find out if he got Defensive Player of the Year. Keep in mind that the Raptors have had their parade to celebrate the season. Next year's NBA draft has already happened, and now we're going to find out who last year's award winners were. Because it's last year now. We're like in a new year, so we're going to find that out tonight. Kawhi Leonard could be an MVP candidate next year, will be an MVP candidate next year. If you look at the season with the playoffs like Chuck would like to do, he would certainly be the MVP of the league, but the voting happens before the playoffs. But Kawhi Leonard, really, the whole NBA is going to be dictated by where he goes.
Yeah.
And he is going to decline his player option, which we all expected, $20 million player option, and then negotiate now with the team. Now, he can do what Kevin Durant did, maybe a 1-1, where he signs and then has a player option. Although with Durant's injury, would Kawhi be more prone to just sign a long-term deal now? Because the report is he might sign with Toronto, sign a year, then have a player option, and then go from there. It seems like Kawhi wants to stay in Toronto, just not too long. That's what it seems like. 5 years for 190 for Kawhi, that's too long. I'll stay in Toronto, he's thinking. But, like, I don't want to live here forever.
Right.
This was fun. I'll do it again another summer. I'll come back to this camp next summer. But then I got to move on with my life here. This is Canada. I ain't going to be a full-fledged Canadian. That's what it seems like for me. I have every, I guess, expectation that he's going to re-sign with the Raptors. I'd be surprised at this point if he didn't.
I almost would, too. I feel like as people have to be telling him, especially right now, like, you have a chance to do something special because you could win two in a row. And also, when you look at the landscape of the NBA right now, if I'm Kawhi Leonard, I want to be in the Eastern Conference because your biggest competition is just Giannis and the Bucks, and you just beat them four times in a row in a playoff series. If you go out west, you know, I don't know where the Clippers would rank if Kawhi goes out west. I don't know if you'd have them the favorites with their current roster, depending, I guess, who they would be able to bring in. Because now you have LeBron James and Anthony Davis teaming up. You know, we don't know what the Warriors are going to look like. So if I'm Kawhi, I do the one-year deal, because then you got a shot to win another title. Like I said, your biggest competition in the East would just be the Bucks, and then you take your chances against, you know, whoever you face in the finals, whether it be Utah or whether it be the Lakers. And then you kind of take a look at where the offseason takes you next year. Because,
or the Warriors or Rockets? Or,
well, I'm already writing off the Rockets because Chris Paul and James Harden hate each other, and I don't even think the Rockets are going to be able to trade Chris Paul because he makes way too much money and everybody else in
Warriors?
The league hates him. I'm writing them off, too.
Write off the Warriors, dog.
It's going to be Draymond and Steph.
Except for this last finals.
Draymond and Steph. I mean, I don't think...
Clay will be back by Valentine's Day.
No way. He's not playing next year. I don't think Durant does either. I don't even think they return for the playoffs. But if I'm Kawhi, like, I wait and see what happens, because if Durant does end up leaving and he goes to New York or New Jersey and you pair him with Kyrie, then maybe you go out west and play with the Clippers. Like, I would just do a one-year deal, because this year you'd be the favorites once again in the Eastern Conference, right?
Toronto, yeah.
Yeah.
They'd be the favorites to win it all.
That's what I mean.
They're the favorites to win the NBA Finals with Kawhi Leonard. But if Kawhi goes to the Clippers...
Are they the favorites?
Yes!
Are they?
Wherever he goes, they're the favorites.
So Kawhi is now the new LeBron,
yes!
Essentially, right?
You were right!
I know, I was right. I told you guys, like, we've been underrating Kawhi for a very long time. He would have beat the Warriors. He was going to beat the Warriors a couple years back before that injury. It was game one. And I was like, oh,
although
my gosh.
If Durant was healthy 5-6-7, the Warriors win.
See, that's the thing. Like, are we overrating Kawhi a little bit? I don't think so at all.
I mean,
but
he shut down
one,
Giannis.
Right, but is he 1B? Like, we saw what happened in, like, the 11 minutes Durant was on the court before he got injured.
But with Durant being out, wherever Kawhi goes, they're the favorites.
Over the Lakers? in LeBron and Anthony Davis. That's crazy because just 2 years ago, we would have said nobody's beaten this team. Like, we were calling Anthony Davis the best player in the league. He was 25 years old. Now he's 26. But LeBron, the same thing. Like, has LeBron fallen off? Is it the age? Like, is his play declining?
Well, here's what's going to happen with the Lakers. They're going to finagle whatever they can to get one more max slot, and they're going to have three guys and no depth. I mean, you want to think the Warriors didn't have depth?
Right.
They're going to have no depth. Even when it was the big three in Miami?
Yeah.
They had, like, enough depth.
Year two and three. See, that was the problem with year one is you had to get everybody in there. So you were trying to restructure all those deals, and you had to bring in Bosh and LeBron, you know, to ready pair with Wade, who took a pay cut. But then you couldn't, like, do anything with the bench. So you had to throw all these garbage guys at you. Then years two and three, you get the ring chasers, like the veterans that'll take the minimum.
Yeah.
And that's what the Lakers will end up getting, like the Tyson Chandlers and the, you know, that's going to be Tyson Chandler.
Basically,
most likely,
everyone
J.R.
you
Smith.
Saw, if you watched any of the big three this weekend, those guys, like Lamar Odom's coming back.
Crazy, man. The guy had like 45 heart attacks at once, and now he's playing in the big three. What sucks is you can't watch the big three on TV, and Fox Sports 1 doesn't have the coverage. You have to stream it this year?
No, it's on CBS Sports.
Oh.
Do you get that one?
I do, but I couldn't tell you what channel it is. I thought that you had to stream it this year, I saw.
No, it's on CBS Sports Network. So it was on Fox Sports. Now it's on CBS Sports Network.
I can't believe Lamar Odom's playing back. I can't believe Lamar Odom's alive.
I saw so little of it. And I did watch an interview that Michael Rapaport, actor, he's like their correspondent. It was after the game. He's like, Lamar, how do you feel out there? And he's like, good. Yeah, it's really good to see you, man. We're so glad that you're here and still here. Thanks. Just keep it going, man. He's like trying to be a psychiatrist.
Michael Rapaport.
And Odom's like, right. Please, man, just go back in the locker room and have a nice night and get back here next week. It was like he was like begging him to stay out of trouble.
Like he's a sponsor or something.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to try to dig that up because it's interesting. We'll have that, and then we're going to do our Twitter question today for Summerfest tickets. If you could go back in time to any event, what would it be? We'll take a look at that coming up as well. It's Chuck and Winkler. We are served up by Perkins, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
It's the first game of the year. You got a long summer. You're out here, which I think is a big hurdle.
Yeah.
What do you think of the pace of the game, just what you've been seeing so far?
It's all right. I like the pace of the game. Once I get my rhythm back, it should be no problem.
Yeah, well, we want to see you out here. Don't give up. You got a long season in front of you, man.
Facts.
You've come this far, man. You got to keep going.
Of course.
All right, Lamar.
Michael Rapaport is going to save Lamar Odom. That's from the Big Three, CBS Sports Network. Now, Horvat, if you're looking for it on the weekends, they are coming to Milwaukee, too, the three-on-three league with a bunch of legends. I believe it's the first weekend of August. So Larry Sanders will make his return to Milwaukee. Although he'll probably be like, I can't go that weekend. But pay me anyway for the next 6 years. Mark Winkler, Ryan Horvat, Evan Heffelfinger. We'll get back into the Brewers momentarily and see if just where everybody's at right now. Because I don't know if you follow me on Twitter or not. I had a meltdown Friday. Just had a meltdown about the team. I just want them to be better. And they're 2-0 since I had a meltdown. Now, if you're going to go look for it on Twitter, I deleted it all.
So, smart man.
Yeah.
So I went to bed at like 7 p.m. on Friday. I was so tired after the draft show. And just, it was a long week, so I sat on the couch to watch some baseball. Next thing you know, I wake up, it's 2 a.m.
Oh.
And then I make the mistake that I always make when I wake up in the middle of the night and don't fall back asleep, because I'll check my phone, look at Twitter. I was like, I wonder what Bart's been up to. Let's see what Bart's up to. And then all my mentions, just, I scrolled down, and it looks like you had a pretty interesting Friday.
Yeah, I had friends unfollow me. They were so tired of me.
But when you go back, and this is what I told you last night via text, like, I feel like you should take full credit for the Brewers being back on track and turning up the heat, because they're 2-0 since your meltdown.
Yeah, thanks. And if you want to see any of it again, I deleted it all, so you can't do that.
People probably did get you with the screenshot, though. You know?
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of screenshots out there, so just post them at your leisure. At Wings Things is where I'm at. We are at 105.7 FM, The Fan, and we've got a question for you on Twitter to win a pair of tickets to Summerfest. If you could go back in time and go to any sporting event or any game and watch it in the stands, what would it be? You can reply with the hashtag CWTickets. You can win a pair of tickets to Summerfest, again, at 105.7 FM The Fan with the hashtag CWTickets. You go back in time, Horvat. You can go to any game you want, any sporting event you want. You have one in mind?
Man, that's a tough question because there's so many. I would probably go back to December 22nd, 2003, Packers-Raiders, the day after Favre's dad died when he threw for 311 yards and four touchdowns on Monday Night Football. I'd probably go to that game, man. A lot of emotion. I was a big Favre guy, obviously. I was crying watching that. Great moment. Watch that with my dad. And that one would be up there.
It doesn't matter what you wore to the game, too. You could go all Raiders, you know, Black Hole, because those fans were cheering for Favre as much as anybody.
Yeah, that any of Rodgers' Hail Marys. Like, I saw the one in the playoffs against the Giants right before the end of the first half where he found Cobb, like, in the back of the end zone, but that one didn't really matter.
So you can go back the entire time, and you're going to go Packers last 20 years?
Yeah, I'm a loser. I mean, I'd go to, like, all the Super Bowls and whatnot. I don't know. That's a tough question. You know, like, I'd like to see a no-hitter, but nothing really comes to mind because, I mean, there hasn't really been one in Milwaukee. Like, when am I going to go back and watch Carlos Zambrano's no-hitter? Me and Chuck in the stands sitting there with the other 15 people? That's a good question. Come back to me on that one. I'm going to say for right now, though, yeah, 2003, man, the Favre performance. Because there's just so much emotion watching that. It's almost like you're watching a movie. Like, the storyline was way too perfect. And seeing Favre get emotional after the game. Because at the time, like, and especially when I'm a kid, like, Favre was the toughest dude. Like, he was, like, tougher than your dad. Because he always had, like, a broken hand. He was playing
despite it. Yeah, he, like, was
my
dad.
You know, like, he would never sit out, even though at times he probably should have. And you found yourself rooting for the guy. Like, this before we knew anything off the field about him. And he was just, like,
still.
I know, I still love the guy. That never really bothered
him.
I'm not going to. Go down that road. But yeah, I think that would be the game that
Favre
I'd be in
2003.
Yeah.
Evan Heffelfinger in on the updates today. You got one, you go back in time.
I do. I kind of have a couple of cop out answers.
Great.
All right. Babe Ruth's called home run. I think that would be cool just to actually go back and actually see what happened.
Yeah.
And then
if he actually did it or not.
Yeah. And then Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game, just because there's no video, there's no radio. All they have is a box score and a picture of him holding up a piece of paper that says 100 on it. So
you don't think it happened?
No, I do.
You're just a Chamberlain truther.
I just think the historian in me wants to go and actually see what happened instead of just going off of what other people say.
Alex Jones over here.
I like where your head's at, because I would like to go to the first game that I thought of was the Shot Heard Around the World game. And then I realized, oh, that was a game on TV. That was like the first nationally televised baseball game. But I kind of want to go back to a baseball game. It really can be any pennant race game of the 30s or 40s or 20s. Because baseball was it was baseball and boxing back then. And so I want to go to a game and see what it was like to wear a full suit in the stands.
Yeah.
And then to see how if the Brooklyn Dodgers won a game and you're not listening to the radio,
right?
How do you find out? Like, how did you find out that the Dodgers won? The paper the next day? I want to see the word of mouth spread that the Brooklyn Dodgers won a game.
Well, the Dodgers fans, they still have that issue because their games don't air on TV in Los Angeles, so they still have no idea when the team wins or loses. This kind of flips the script for me, though. I thought we had to have a local tie.
I never said anything about local.
Oh, I would go to Jordan's flu game, and I would want to. I'd want to be
his
like a fly. Yeah, I'd want to be a fly on the wall because the rumor is he had some bad pizza. Why is Michael Jordan eating pizza before game 5 of the NBA Finals?
He had some bad pizza and he got a flu?
That's the rumor, is he had some bad pizza in Utah. It was called up to his hotel room. But then the other rumor is
he had a couple too many drinks the night before.
Yeah, Jordan used to fly out. Well, Rodman, too. Like, Rodman would fly in like 15 minutes before tip from Vegas. Jordan liked to play the tables. He'd also play like 36 holes of golf. The rumor was he was hungover. I would either be at the flu game or when Tyson bit off Evander Holyfield's ear, just to like kind of see how the crowd reacted. I'd be there too.
Okay, we'll read some more of these when we get back, and then we'll get into the Brewers because a lot of good answers so far. You go back in time, you can watch any sporting event you like. What would you pick? It's June 24th here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.